Well, I'm hoping to expose myself and yeah, other folks to a game that...
Please don't.
And that's how we will start the episode.
This is the Scarab Swarmcast. In this podcast, we discuss games, anime, conventions, and a variety of other topics. Scarab is an annual convention in Columbia, South Carolina, and members of the Scarab Swarm can be spotted at various events, demoing and running a variety of games. For more information on Scarab, go to www.s-c-a-r-a-b.com. Alright, so you're listening to the Scarab Swarmcast. In this episode, we're actually going to be talking about quick starters. My name is John. I'm one of your hosts. And with me, I have actually quite a few people at the table. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves and tell us, maybe mention a game or two that you've been playing recently.
I'm Clayton Harwaugh, and just been playing a home game lately.
Oh?
Savage Worlds.
Who's next? I see people.
I'm Doug Rulick. Been playing Star Wars, the Living Card Game, and some Quantum fun board game.
I'm Jason. I've been playing a few sessions of Pathfinder down at the friendly local gaming store, and I'm also starting to have a small Hearthstone problem. I think there's a support group for that, though.
I'm Ruby Jones. I've been running those Pathfinder games down at the friendly local gaming store. And Facebook games.
And I'm Mary Kaplish, and I've been running the homebrew Savage Worlds that Clayton's been playing in, and I'm also writing Savage Worlds Ghostbusters right now.
Woohoo! Savage Worlds Ghostbusters. I've heard all sorts of fun things about your game of Ghostbusters.
Well, I was told it wasn't quite Ghostbustery enough, so I'm writing one that is even more Ghostbustery.
Oh my.
For Con Carolinas.
Oh my. Well, like I said, I'm John, and probably the most recent game I've played has been Kittens in a Blender.
No, we played Diablo 3 last night.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We played Diablo 3. But Kittens in a Blender, awesome game.
So messed up.
That's right. I played it with Doug and Ruby, actually. Nice little game, quick little micro game. Takes about maybe 20, 30 minutes to play, if that. I need to start with this. Okay, cool. So we're talking about quick starters. So what is a quick starter? Quick starter generally is a game. It's sort of a little cross section, I guess you could say, of a gaming system. It's usually when a company says, hey, we've got this product. We want to get it out to people. We want to give them sort of a taste of our game to get them hooked so that they'll come on in and buy the main thing and play the full game. Usually it's a little self-contained. I've seen it between a 10 to 40 or 50 page long book that gives everything you need to know about how to run the game. It usually gives you some characters so that you can actually get some players to play the game, and it usually has a little adventure with it as well. Does that seem pretty succinct?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Anybody have anything else they want to add about quick starters that I might have missed?
Maybe just that it should also give, you know, a good sense of the setting, where the game fits, and you know what to expect from the game.
Right. Yeah, that's a very good point. And a lot of times they tend to be for these games that maybe they've had a lot of history behind them, and so new players might be a little bit apprehensive about it. Well, this gives you a nice little chance to kind of jump in there and go, oh, that's what this is about. Cool, well, I think I might want to play that. Or I think I might want to avoid this like the plague.
I was going to say, the quick starters that I'm familiar with all came out with free RPG Day, like the Shadowrun Quick Start.
Yes, quite a few of them did come out with free RPG Day. There's other places where you can get these quick starts, though. Usually you can go to the various gaming companies' websites. They probably have a quick start. There's also one really, really cool source for the quick starts.
I've been getting mine mostly from DriveThruRPG. I've got an iPad, and the PDFs are real pretty to look at on that.
How would you go about grabbing them from DriveThruRPG, for example?
When you pull up their website, just, you know, do a search for quick start, and you'll get pages and pages worth of stuff to pick through to find something that appeals to you.
Well, that sounds pretty cool.
As we watch Clay and Mary on their little iPads.
They're like, this sounds like a good idea.
Checking out the selection as we speak.
One of the things we're going to be doing, the group that's gathered around here, along with Matthew Presson, Scarab Iron GM 2014, who could not be here, who could not be here with us today because he has important Scarab Iron GM commitments, which is a cop-out for saying that he's having car problems currently. He's also going to be participating in this as well.
I prefer to think that he's out somewhere keeping the world safe from bad gaming.
Ah, yes. And true Iron GM, true Scarab Iron GM fashion. One dice at a time. All right. So with this thing, which we currently don't have any solid name for it, I think I've been calling it either Project Quick Start or Operation Quick Start. What we're doing is we're each taking a quick start for a game. It might not necessarily be one. For the most part, it might be one that we've either just never run before or one that maybe we've been kind of interested in. And we're each going to take a turn running this for certain people in the group. Some of us have already selected our quick starts. Some people are still trying to decide, and that's perfectly fair. So why don't we go around, and if you have an idea of what quick start you're running, go ahead and say something about it. We'll start with Doug. Doug, what are you planning on running?
I'm planning on running Iron Kingdoms. It'll be the first one that we talk about. It's a steampunk fantasy setting where you have steampunk jacks fighting each other with spellcasters, based off of the War Machine / Hordes tabletop game.
Cool. I think we saw some of that at... We definitely saw War Machines and possibly Hordes at Scarab, but I think we also saw some Iron Kingdoms.
I know I've played one of the sessions for the Iron GM. He was using Iron Kingdoms as the engine to tell his story for that. I also saw it on the schedule for Iron Kingdoms, but I just never made it for that.
Well, Jason, what quick start do you think you're going to be tackling?
I've settled on Legend of the Five Rings, the role-playing game based on the card game, not the card game itself. It's an Asian-themed role-playing game. Samurai, ninjas, you know, shogun, imperial family, that sort of thing. It's a game that I've never played, but I've always thought was kind of interesting, and so I will give it a shot.
That sounds pretty cool to me. I've heard about L5R, as they call it in the biz.
Can never say that I've played the card game, but I did play 3rd Ed, and if 4th Ed is just one step up from that, then it will be incredible.
I shall endeavor not to disappoint.
I remember the miniatures always looked really, really crazy and out there.
Yeah, we've got a couple. I haven't painted them up, but...
That's true. Don't we have some samurais that were riding on some sort of something?
Yeah, horses. I took the horses.
I'm actually kind of excited about this, because somehow throughout the years, I've managed to not pick up anything about L5R. So it's...
New ground, yay.
Yeah, completely new ground.
The most I know is it's a card game, and they have some miniatures out there, and it's samurai-ish looking. I wanted the horses.
And they're really cool dragon miniatures.
See, I didn't even know there was dragons.
I mean, I think they were dragons. They might have been just dudes like dressed up like dragons. I don't know.
Well, it's you
that's
know,
a thing, right?
Japanese fantasy or Asian fantasy, so I expect they were dragons.
And I remember people always telling their stories about, oh, my character in this game, he did this and this, and it was always something so outrageous that I had no point of reference for, so I really wasn't able to relate to their stories. But apparently they did really cool stuff.
I probably have a few of those myself.
Well, we're going to try to give you a point of reference.
Awesome. Let's see. Who's next? Who wants to talk about what they think they might be running?
I'm actually... looking into, I've already got the PDF for it, but a leverage quick start.
Yay!
Awesome. I read over it about 4 months ago, which was the last time I actually picked it up, so I don't have a whole lot of details to talk about in terms of the system or anything. But
it's based off of the TV show?
It is every bit based off of the TV show, including the twist. At the end where you go back and find all the things that you messed up on and have opportunities to twist them into a, well, I really meant to do that.
That's cool. Because yeah, I like the TV show. In fact, if anybody listening to this has not seen the TV show, we will wait. Go watch the TV show.
It's on Netflix.
All of it? That's going to take a while.
Well, wait.
The rich and powerful take what they want. We steal it back for you.
Sometimes bad guys make the best good guys.
We provide leverage.
Okay, we're back. Told you it was a good TV show. So totally check it out.
You might want to catch the new podcast.
That's true.
Alright, I am actually going to be doing the quick start for Dragon Age, which is the RPG based off of the RPG video game.
Whoa, that's yeah. Totally meta right there.
I know, right? It's a fantasy based game, but it deals more with like demons, more or less. The Darkspawn is what they're called. Basically, humans and other creatures that have been twisted by darkness that emerge and are bound to a particular dragon demon that shows up every 100 years and has to be killed. The only way you can kill it is by sacrificing yourself. It's a fun video game to play through. There's two of them out there. The first one's probably funner than the second one, but the second one, it takes place in a slightly different place in the lands. So, and I've never played the RPG game, the tabletop version, so I'm interested in that.
I do know that they played this a tabletop version of this game on some other thing that's out there on YouTube.
What was the name of that?
Table something. It's got some guy in it who was on some TV show, I think.
I don't know. That sounds familiar.
Web show, on some type of web TV show too, wasn't he?
I think so.
I'm not going to mention his game. I'm not going to mention his name unless he agrees to come to Scarab.
Alicia would drop dead.
She would.
We're calling you out.
Whatever your name is, you know who you are. Ensign Crusher. All right, so cool. Dragon Age. Will Claudia Black be making a guest appearance in this particular game?
I hope not.
Because that would be kind of cool, I think.
I don't want to pay the fees for that.
Oh man. Yeah.
She's actually the voice of Flemeth in the video game, who's the witch dragon thing, and the mother of one of the main characters you play.
Right.
So if you have to sacrifice yourself, how does that affect your character advancement?
Well, you don't sacrifice yourself till the end of the game. In the video game, I don't know how the tabletop one plays
so
at all.
It's kind of working towards it.
Well,
the
you
whole
don't.
Time.
You also don't know. Obsession. No, you don't know that until the end.
Then why did you tell us?
She spoiled the whole thing for us. Spoilers.
The video game has like different endings. But okay. Essentially, you're supposed to. The whole point of the order that fights all of them is you sacrifice yourself. But the way you end up sacrificing yourself is you basically take all of the demon taint into you, and you essentially are asleep for 100 years, and you become the next demon that they have to kill.
Oh my god,
that's kind of cool.
That's horrifying.
I was like, but the video game has multiple different ways it can end. You don't. One of the endings is you give yourself up, and there's other ways. You can give up other people, or you can sleep with someone and create a baby to kill. And there's a million different ways.
Oh my!
Wow! I think we have just set gaming back about 3 decades.
Wow!
That's the video game. I have no idea about the tabletop.
It's very long quick start.
It takes at least 9 months to play. I guess it would take several years because you got to raise the baby, teach him how to fight.
Maybe not.
No.
You could have a baby demon thing.
This little baby that's crawling
that sleeps
around
for 100
like,
years.
And you throw it at the demon. That sounds like an awesome game, but that's not Dragon Age.
It still won't quite compete with Kittens in a Blender.
I know.
No, it won't. Kittens in a Blender was awesome.
It's a really fun game. As Doug was, I remember like we got like almost through the end of the game. Doug was like, "This game is just so messed up."
Yeah.
But speaking of Kittens in a Blender, I'll go ahead and speak for Matt since he's not here. Haha, my name is Matthew Preston. I'm the Scarab Iron GM 2014. Haha. I'm going to be running a Kickstarter for a game called Ghost of Albion, which takes place in Victorian England and involves magic users and ghosts and intrigue. Haha.
And apparently it is not down to heavy the game.
Yeah, which is what I was hoping it was going to be. So
still, pinkies up, everybody.
I'm still a little disappointed that it's not down to heavy the game, but I guess I can live with that. Not that I'm, like, you know, a huge Anglophile and really want to play Downton Abbey the game. It's just...
Have you even watched any Downton Abbey? I mean, I have, but...
No. Why would I watch that? I have the internet and all you guys to tell me about Downton Abbey.
I was going to say, I watched the first 2 seasons. I got fed up with it. I got fed up with it by the end of the first season, but the second season I was really fed up. And third season wasn't out yet, so...
So you can't watch that and be more fed up yet?
I will when I have no other Korean or Indian things to watch.
She says now.
Yeah. Well, I'm actually watching Jeremiah, which is like, was in 2004. It had Luke Perry in it. It was the main character. It was about everyone above the age of innocence, which was puberty, all of them die because of a virus.
Yeah.
And so all the kids grew up and blah, blah, blah.
Wow.
And it's a post-apocalyptic kind of thing. And you could totally cut all of this out because it has no relevance.
Eh.
But
why would I cut
But yeah,
out?
So I'm watching that
this
for
is
some reason.
This is great.
And I've been watching, Regenesis, a Canadian crime, but it's like viral and bacterial epidemic type things that they go searching all over the place.
It's like a what CSI meets the CDC kind
of
thing.
Yeah.
But Canadian.
Yeah.
I just remember the
They say it a few times, but it almost seems out of place when they say it. I'm like, what?
I just remember the one episode I like woke up watching you watch. There were it was cyclists who were about to get sick because they're about to drive into some place where
a cloud of
moon rock had crashed into the earth like what 50 or 60 years ago.
No, it was like within the last week.
Oh, okay. Well, that's better than 50 or 60 years ago. And they were mad because like the U.S. and NASA refused to tell anybody about this. I was like, what the hell? It's just a bunch of bicyclists.
Oh, well, that was this episode from season 4. So
that's right.
They were really stretching.
He was getting mad because the Quebec guy wouldn't speak to him in anything other than French, and he didn't know French.
Or Spanish. That's the other one he bitches about not knowing a lot, too. But anyway, it doesn't matter. It's not what
Spanish.
This is
about. Wow. Okay. All right. So yeah, one thing I do know about, some stuff I do know about Gust of Albion that I thought was kind of neat when I was handing off this, what I thought it was to Matt, and I glanced through it, was the characters that you get to play. There's 2 magic users, the 2 spellcasters, there's a vampire, and there's 3 ghosts. So you can play a ghost in this thing. But the ghosts they have in there are like, who did I say? Admiral Nelson. Remember, this is British. Lord Byron, and some really old, I want to say Scottish queen, who has like this massive sword and long flowing like red hair, and she's completely naked the whole time. But she's the one who was she's the butt kicker of the group. So
are you sure that's not Downton Abbey?
If that's what Downton Abbey's like, then I'm gonna watch it.
Downton Abbey Brotherhood.
But I read this character's like, holy crap, this sounds awesome. I'm crying a little bit inside.
I know who John wants to play.
Mm-hmm.
Lord Byron?
I don't know. Admiral Nelson's kind of cool. Because it's like...
Does
it
come with rum?
What, Admiral Nelson or Lord Byron?
Admiral Nelson.
Admiral Nelson.
Now with rum action.
I didn't see any bottles of rum attached to the quick start, unfortunately. But I'm sure if we ask... Ooh.
Ah, the leverage quick start.
Clay is showing us the leverage quick start right now. Show it to the mic.
The mic is impressed.
Can you guys see that? All right, cool. I am going to tackle a game called Eclipse Phase.
Oh, that's right. You're doing something, too.
Yeah, so I do stuff. I do stuff around here sometimes. I'm going to run a game. It's called Eclipse Phase. It is a transhuman sci-fi bizarre thing. It sounds really awesome in a really crazy, crazy way.
Well, I'm glad that you've described it so succinctly and accurately, John.
I can't wait to play it. Just based off that description.
Well, no, I didn't have any idea what it was. We had a friend when we were playing Shadowrun who kept talking about it, and I really didn't understand anything he was saying, so I kind of tuned him out, and so now John's going to be doing some Eclipse Phase.
He'd be happy.
He would be happy.
Well, he kept talking about it, and I kept thinking, okay, it's like Shadowrun. And then I glancing through it, I'm like, this is not. There's some Shadowrun-ish stuff in here, because you can have drones and things like that. But it's transhuman, so basically it's sort of the transcendent of mankind over their current form. One of the quotes from the book is, death is a disease, and we have found the cure.
All right, Johnny Depp.
Because basically you can create bodies for yourself, genetically enhance them, or you can just create drones, and you're basically just your consciousness or your cortex that travels through these different shells. So whenever you want to go someplace, it's usually just like, oh, well, I'll just transmit my cortex over there into a body that I've had custom built over on that side. So you haven't ended up having, like, here's your main character sheet. Oh, you've gone to a different body. Here's a completely different character sheet that has slightly different stats. It sounds really interesting.
Speaking of Johnny Depp, we finally watched The Lone Ranger and sent it back.
Yes, nobody should ever watch that movie. And if you've already seen it, you should...
forget it.
Ask for your money back.
It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, but it was still pretty bad.
Next time on the podcast, movie reviewers.
It was crap.
It goes into a whole thing about Lone Ranger that I could go hour on and on for hours and hours, but I'm not going to because we're talking about quick starts.
That's right.
He said Johnny Depp, so that's what made me think of
it. I understand that. That's totally legit. So, and see, Mary's been over here looking at different quick starts.
Yes.
When I said some of us haven't decided, what I really meant was Mary hasn't decided on.
Well, we kind of sprang it on her.
We did kind of spring it on her. So, which is great, because this means we can have a nice little discussion. Is there anything in particular you're looking at, or a genre, or anything you might think you might want to try?
Not really. I mean, not in particular. There have been some interesting things that I've seen, but there's not... I think I need to read more information on the game than what's on the Drive-Thru RPG website, which usually says, this is a cool game, and a sentence.
I think that's what happened when I looked at Best of Out Beyond, actually. Because I think Jason was looking at it, and he says, oh, look, it's got rules for how to conduct a tea party or something like that.
But
it was like, sold.
So we have a tea party with three ghosts.
So, but it sounds like we've got the genres fairly well covered. We've got sci-fi and horror and fantasy and
transcendentalists.
What's the horror part of this?
Isn't it Ghost of Albion?
See, I don't know if that's
there's
so much
ghosts
horror.
And vampires it's, and stuff. Because
what it kind of makes me think of is like a Victorian version of like Dresden Files. So if you think that's horror, I mean. It's got those elements. You're right, ghosts and vampires and stuff.
Okay.
But let's face it, these days, vampires just aren't scary anymore.
I guess that's true.
Especially when they sparkle.
And ghosts?
Those aren't real vampires. They'll never be real vampires to me. If they sparkle, they're not real vampires.
The moment we had a TV show, that premise was, you know, what if a vampire, ghost, and a werewolf lived together in an apartment?
The British version
things
was
started getting real.
What if things started getting real? What do we hope to accomplish by doing these quick starts?
Well, I'm just hoping that I can see what the RPG for Legend of the Five Rings is like and see if anyone else is interested in it.
I don't know. I was assigned Dragon Age, which is okay by me because I like the video game.
I did kind of say, hey, you should run this.
Yeah, he came home after that night and said, hey Ruby, I volunteered you for Dragon Age. I'm like, okay. So.
And I kind of did that with Clay, but I don't think I really had to do much.
Well, I'd had it already. But then I kind of lost touch with it.
Yeah, it was almost like I said, hey Clay, would you mind? You went, yes, I will.
Yeah, I think I was already typing before I actually finished reading the, will you run the leverage quick start?
Yes, I will.
I personally am interested in all these different quick starts because I've always been interested in Leverage One since I met some people that were playing it. Other than that, the Dragon Age one interests me. I don't care about the rest of you.
Damn.
I do want to get a little bit more of a grasp of the Cortex system. I've heard mixed reviews, and so
isn't that
I've never actually. It's Margaret Weiss.
Yeah, I was gonna say that's the same Firefly. One that Firefly, the old Firefly game, was based on.
The current Firefly is the current Cortex system.
It was not.
And there's a Marvel superheroes game that's using a Cortex system as well.
So I'm looking forward to kind of. I'm looking forward to an opportunity to kind of familiarize myself with the way the Cortex system works and actually kind of get a handle on that.
I'm looking forward to playing it too because I love the Leverett TV show.
That's also, you know, a genre, a heist thing. You don't see a lot of games. You know, normally you see something that's a power fantasy science fiction or a lot of high fantasy, but this is just contemporary, you know, not contemporary fantasy, not dark urban fantasy. This is just contemporary.
Yeah.
I definitely want to try that.
Yeah. And I know Clay, you're a big fan of D20 Modern. Figured I'd throw that in there.
Yes. Yes, I am.
So I'm sure this is, like, right up your alley. Probably.
Yeah. Minus a few, you know, fantasy races and stuff like that. I mean,
well, yeah.
I don't think they have any elves in the quick starter. But.
And Doug, you do all that not tabletop, but the war gaming and stuff like that. So
yeah,
an RPG based off of those games you already play.
Yeah, yeah, definitely jumped on Iron Kingdoms because.
Yeah,
I mean, I have all the minis already. So.
That's a big plus right there.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to trying out this Iron Kingdoms game, Doug. I hope we can do that sometime soon.
See, the Ghost of Albion one amuses me because I'm pretty sure Matt, as part of his prize package for the Scarab Iron GM 2014...
He's going to put some Earl Grey or something?
No. He actually got the full version of the
game.
Now we're
totally going to have to do that. Give
him some. Oh, that's cool. I've got the...
I wonder if he even knows that he has the
book. Yes, because I foisted it on him. I kept saying, hey, look at this book. Look at this book when he was choosing his prize packages.
Yeah, anyway, this one looks pretty nice. I think I'll take it.
Yeah, I kind of snuck that one. I kept leaning him towards it.
That'd be pretty funny. He'd get through it and be like, I got this book. I didn't realize it, but I've got this book.
You know what?
I don't know what Matt's hoping to accomplish.
You should totally... talk with Chris O'Neill and have them do a Kobolds Ate My Baby kit.
A quick start for Kobolds Ate My
Baby?
I mean,
it's a quick game anyway, but...
It'd be hard to do a quick start for that.
It almost doesn't need a quick start. I mean...
The game almost is a quick start!
Right.
I mean, minus all the cool stuff that you do to
but
the...
But still! Think about that.
I'll see what...
You could put...
I'll throw that little nugget out there and see what happens.
The Kobolds Ate My Baby quick start could be like 3 to 4 pages, and it can have
and it'll still last just as long.
it's like 4 pages of rules, and then the other 36 pages are
death charts,
our example characters or something. Here, put this pile of characters on the table. Start reading this. Have the players take them out. And
randomly assign characters to people.
You're playing this one. You just kind of deal them out like cards.
Don't worry, they won't live too long. You get another one in just a few minutes.
Oh, your character's dead. Here, pick a character. Any character. Is this your character?
Is this Kobolds Ate My Baby or Call of Cthulhu?
Does Call of Cthulhu have a quick start?
It sure does.
Okay.
For the current edition, which is going to be coming out any day now, I imagine. Or a month now. But we're not tackling that yet.
I was just asking.
Maybe if this goes well enough, that might be part of phase 2 of whatever we're calling this thing.
I've already
kick it in the quick.
Got an eye on the
kick it in the quick. Oh my god, that may have just won. That's a
kick it in the
quick. Kick it in the quick.
Well, if it moves to phase 2, I've got my eye on the Song of Ice and Fire quick start.
Ah, Song of Ice and Fire. Jason's already planning for the future. I haven't looked that far.
That's Game of Thrones RPG for those that are only watching the television show.
You know, some jerk wrote a bunch of books that have nothing but spoilers about that TV show in it. I think he's going to be at Con Carolinas this year. George something.
Yeah, I thought I read something about that guy.
Martini?
George Martini. Martin Croker. No, wait, that's Zorak. So there you guys go. There you have it. That's our plan for kick it in the quick, as we're calling it. Kick it in the quick. Our quick start project, experiment, whatever you want to call it. We'll have little random updates. We may have one on Iron Kingdom coming up here very soon.
Yeah.
Just sort of a, I don't know what we're going to talk about. Probably just going to talk about what experiences we had in the game and stuff like that. I'm sure it'd be okay. and on a note of the quick starts and stuff, I noticed some of these have very strict limits on how many players you could actually have in the quick start. Usually, in my opinion, for certain games, like, it seems like 5 players seems to be that magic number. 6 kind of pushes that, but anything over that in the game tends to implode. That being said, Gust of Albion could play up to 6 players.
Good luck, Matt.
I know that Eclipse Phase has like 4 pre-generated characters in it.
The Dragon Age has 5.
Leverage has 1 for each person that's actually in the show.
Oh, okay.
Wow.
So that's what, 5?
5.
Okay.
And Kingdoms, limited to 4.
Limited to 4.
I briefly looked at the L5R, and it looks like it actually has pre-gens for all of the different clans.
Oh my goodness.
So
oh my gosh.
I'm guessing, you know, you just sort
whoever
of...
Whoever shows up, then.
Well, I'm guessing you set the number of players and say, pick a character from all this.
Oh, wow. Okay, great.
Have fun editing this.
Yeah. Oh, it'll be fine. Oops. It'll be fine. I'll edit what I just said right there, too. Now, I do know that there's, speaking of as far as the number of quick start players and stuff, if anybody listening goes out there and goes, oh, I really want to grab some quick starts and try them out, there are 2 quick starts out there. I just happened to look at this for DC superheroes because somehow I seem to be drawn towards superhero games, even though I'm not allowed to run them or play them anymore.
They never make.
The DC superhero ones, if you look at them for quick start, it only allows 1 to 2 players. So beware of that, because I think one of them's like Batman versus Bane. It kind of reminds me of the Shadowrun quick start, which I don't think we should test out here, because having played Shadowrun for so many years, it's hard to run that quick start because it just leaves out most of the rules of Shadowrun itself. But if you've never played Shadowrun before, try it out. You may like it, and then dive into the whole game. All right, so look forward to hearing all about our kick it in the quick feedback.
Yeah.
And now, Scarab News. In the last episode, we announced the very first Scarab Swarmcast contest, the What's in the Bag contest. You still have plenty of time to enter that. All you need to do is identify who said the quotes that I'm going to read out, and in which episode of the Swarmcast they said these things. And then all you need to do then is write out your answers in an email, send it to swarmcast@scarab.com. Of course, there's dashes in between each of the letters in the word scarab. And we will announce the winner with the July episode of the Scarab Swarmcast. So, without further ado, here are those quotes. Quote number 1. If the game slows down, it's probably your turn. Quote number 2. And we silly stringed the you know what out of the entire concom. And quote number 3. Pajaggle, pajaggle, pajaggle. And that's all the news for now. For up-to-date news, go to Scarab's website and check us out on Facebook. And now, the Scarab event calendar.
Events, events, events!
Alright, so here's a list of some events where you can either find the Scarab Swarm or where you can go to just have a good time in game. May 16th through 18th, XCon World in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Go ahead and check us out. We'll be bringing primarily board games there, but there's a lot of other really cool stuff going on at XCon. May 22nd through 26th, 2014 is Gamerama in Atlanta, Georgia. We'll be bringing some Pathfinder Society, some PFS, and there's going to be a whole bunch of other gaming going on. It's a four or five day convention in Atlanta, Georgia. Check it out. May 30th through June 1st in Charlotte, North Carolina is Con Carolinas. In June and July, Scarab will be having some game days, but the exact dates and locations will be announced later. And all of this is to bring us into August 14th through 17th, which of course is Gen Con in Indianapolis, Indiana. And of course, I'll be bringing you all sorts of more information about that as we get closer to Gen Con. If you want Scarab at your event or to set up a game day at your business, contact us through our website 4 to 8 weeks prior. Hey, Mamma Mia, it's a time for a Scarab game review! Wahoo! This time for the game review, I want to talk about a little micro game by the Brothers Nidson called Kittens in a Blender. You may have heard several of us mention this quite a few times on the podcast already. I can't recommend this game enough. It's been a lot of fun. I sort of accidentally borrowed a copy of it from somebody, not really knowing exactly what it was, just like thinking that the title sounded funny. And after having played it a few times now, it's a blast. The basic gist of it is you have a countertop that has a blender on one side, the rest of the counter in the middle, and on the other side is a box. And you've got a bunch of kittens, and kittens being what they are, can only end up in one of two places, either in the blender or in the box. Actually, three places, because I guess they could end up on the counter. Your job is to make sure you save as many of your kittens by getting them under the box, while your opponents are trying to make sure they get as many of your kittens into the blender. Now, just because a kitten's in a blender doesn't mean that they're necessarily doomed, unless someone, of course, plays a card that activates the blender, the blend button. But you could have a chance to stop this. There's all sorts of different ways to move the kittens to the different places. Despite the way it sounds, it's actually a very cute-looking game in a really kind of wrong way. All the pictures are very cutesy. The pictures of the kittens are cute, and they've each got really cute little names. Yeah, so you just go check it out. It can actually play 2 to 4 players. It's for ages 8 and up, and it takes about 20 to 40 minutes to play, depending on how many people you have playing and how sick and twisted these people are. So go. Go get some kittens, put them in... I mean, don't... No, no. Get the game Kittens in a Blender. Don't actually put kittens into a blender. That's a horrible thing. But the game is not. So that brings us to the end of our Kick It in the Quick episode, as my wife decided to call it. Kind of a short episode, I know, but we've got a lot of stuff that's going to come out of this. Be on the lookout. We're going to have some episodes that are going to have the results of our quick start games that we're going to play. So I want to thank everybody who is sitting at the table with me today to talk about these quick starts. My wife Ruby, Jason, Clay, Mary, and of course Doug, and Iron GM 2014, Matthew Preston, who was there in absentia. So with that, I'm John Manus, and that's it for now. We will see you at Scarab or some other conventions or some crazy things like that, and I'm just going to keep babbling on and rambling. Music on the Scarab Swarmcast is by iFi Dragons at ifidragons.com, MC Lars at mclars.com, and Midnight Syndicate at midnightsyndicate.com. The Scarab Swarmcast is produced and mixed by John Manus. You can subscribe to the Swarmcast through our podcast site or through iTunes. If you like what you hear, have questions or suggestions, leave a comment on Facebook, or you can email us at swarmcast@sc-a-r-a-b.com.
bit. Get up, 'cause kid, your future lies here.